What if I told you there's a way you could be a second shooter at a family session so you can see exactly how the photographer prepares, how they interact with their clients, what they say when they're posing, or when they choose to use fluid motion, what they do when kids might not cooperate or dad might not be in the session? What if I told you there's a way you can see what the gear is that they're using, where they're positioning themselves when they're shooting, what factors they're taking into consideration when they're shooting? What if I told you there was a way you could see what their straight out of camera images look like, and then you could see their editing process too, so you know exactly how they get those start to finish images and those polished ones you see in your Instagram feed? Now, what if I told you could be that second shooter without ever having to leave your house? What if I told you that not only do you get to watch it from home, but you didn't have to remember every single thing you were trying to learn the first time you watched it? What if you could watch and rewatch as much as you wanted? How would that improve your images, your posing, your confidence? Now, what if I told you there is a way you could be a second shooter not only for one photographer, but 26? That's exactly what you'll experience inside the 2024 Online Family Retreat. Your inspiration will soar, your art will improve, your posing will become more fluid, and your confidence is going to increase so, so much. And honestly, your clients are going to feel so much more comfortable. Head on over to themilkyway.ca/family retreat. It all gets underway May 29th, and we hope to see you there.
The deep dives into what matters to us, what we care about, what we want our life to look like, our success to look like, why that matters, is that then it guides every other decision that we make in our business. Our marketing choices need to line up with that place of like knowing ourselves and knowing what is for us and what's not for us. So I think it's the most core thing in coaching. And when I have clients who come out saying, I trust myself more, I feel more peace, at least I know where to go now when I have a question and don't end up like spiraling or overthinking every decision. I'm like, that's the win. If you trust yourself more and you have now this kind of framework to make decisions from, that's the win.
Welcome to the Art and Soul Show, where we dive into heart-opening chats on photography, business, life, and that messy in-between. I'm your host, Lisa DeJaso, a mom, a photographer, and entrepreneur, and I'll be sharing honest conversations and advice for photographers with insight on mindset, entrepreneurship, and creativity. The goal of this podcast is for you to be able to gain insights and strategies that will get you real results. Because let's face it, having a photography business can be lonely, but it doesn't have to be. This is the place you can go when you need a boost of encouragement, a kick in the pants, and inspiration to pick up your camera. This is the Art and Soul Show. Hello, my beautiful friends. Welcome back to the show. Today, I'm super excited to dive into today's conversation with Kristen Sweeting. Kristen is a wedding photographer turned coach for entrepreneurs and the founder of Dangerous Creatives. She's built two multiple six-figure businesses while single parenting her son, so she knows how difficult balance and the ebbs and flows of a creative business can be. She believes that people matter most. She believes in a way of doing business and creating art that helps creatives become the healthiest versions of themselves, builds community, and changes culture. Kristen's built her coaching business on the pillars of being true to yourself, radically inclusive, open and accepting, and curious. Her goal is to help you find more clarity, joy, and purpose while bringing home the bacon, like the really fancy organic bacon. Welcome, Kristen.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited. So I love your bio so much because I think a lot of the time things can really get skewed when it comes to profitability at the sacrifice of our own mental and our physical health. So can you maybe share your approach with your students that helps them tap into the healthiest and most fulfilled versions of themselves, but while still generating great profits and staying in alignment?
Totally. So, you know, a lot of the work that we do with creatives came out of my own story of going through a lot of hard things while I was building my business and then rebuilding a business, had autoimmune issues in there and divorce and single parenting. And so in that, walking through all of that, and we can dive into that too, we started developing some frameworks to really help people stay true to themselves, also grow and raise their prices and be healthy in the meantime. So one of the frameworks we really work on is called the Danger Framework, which, you know, is tied with Dangerous Creatives, but digging deeper, aligning your attention, naming your numbers, really knowing the financial piece of your business, which can be a huge piece of self-care, gathering your group, you know, building your community, expanding your energy, and reset and rejuvenation. So we're a big fan of sabbaticals. We're a big fan of like building in time to really do the things that we care about. But I'm sure you've seen this too. I think we start a business to do something that we love, to feel fulfillment. And then when we start, you know, listening to other voices, getting education, when we start learning some things to do, it can be easy to abandon the things that mattered the most to us at the beginning at the sake of growth. And so I think really trying to stay true to those things while you grow is just imperative to our health and our wholeness.
I love that. Well, I'm sorry to hear that you have an autoimmune disorder. I actually just found out I have one too. So
really?
I got diagnosed with Hashimoto's and like...
Ah, that's what I have.
I got twins. Right.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's from burnout. I think I got it from burnout.
Right? Yeah, for sure. I mean, I got it when I got married really young. So I was in college and I was working full time and I was trying to figure out how to adult and taking credits in school. And yeah, and developed an autoimmune disease. And so, you know, it really did change how I built business. I was never able to just push, push, push. I had to keep my health a priority. And I think that that's led to a much healthier business over the last 12, 13 years too.
Yeah. Well, I love that you mentioned sabbatical because I am currently on a 1-year sabbatical from my photography business.
Oh, wow. How do you feel?
How do I feel? Happy? I love that I'm not sitting in front of the computer every single night. I'm watching shows with my husband and I don't feel like I owe someone something all the time. Like I'm always behind the eight ball. And that's sort of just been the beauty in how I was running my business because I'm running two companies at the same time. And I've done that for so long that it got to the point where I was like, I just need to press pause and really figure out how I'm going to build this back together because right now I'm tired and I apparently am not healthy. So I got to work on that.
I mean, I think it's so beautiful that you share it with your audience because I think even when we have the best systems in place and we know what to do, I don't know that you can fully avoid burnout. And talking about it and talking about how to get out of it, I think can be a lifeline for so many people.
I think that's one thing like that we need to normalize a little bit more is that burnout is a lot more common than we think. And I think it gets to the point a lot of the time where we're so tapped that we, you know, we've already hit it before we like and we don't avoid it. So I think that my goal, and I'm sure that yours is too with your students, is finding that healthy balance of when to address when we're starting to get there. So do you have any advice on that?
I mean, I also experienced burnout last year and took a lot of time off. And, you know, there's so many things that we can do to build in time off for ourselves, to check back in with our gut, to have a community of people around us that are supporting us. But sometimes you just got to stop for a second and reevaluate everything. And that, I think, is terrifying for entrepreneurs. I know it was for me. But the answers did come just from being able to get quiet and listen for a while, longer than I wanted.
Yeah. Right. Now, let's talk a little bit about running your business as a single parent and starting your business over, because I think so many times there is really a fear of the unknown over the fear of staying. So can you share your experience and how you're using that to help others?
Yeah, totally. So I built my business as a photographer before I had my son. So built it, decided to specialize in weddings when he came along. And in the year that he was born, I had a miscarriage, I hit him, and then my dad passed away. And it was the first time I ever invested in coaching because I hit this wall where I was like, I need to be providing for my family. I'm super stressed out. So it was when I really started like pouring into myself, learning more about business education, learning about the, you know, the beauty of mentorship. And then it was a couple years later that I ended up being a single parent. And one thing that I learned during that time is that I can get a whole lot more done in short amounts of time than I thought. I was letting my business kind of take over my whole life. And when I had less time, I had like one day of childcare when I was single parenting, I could get so much done. And it let me really focus on raising prices, developing something that was more scalable, which I think is so important, and then starting to build passive income streams. And so from that time of like not really having an option and being like, I need to come out of this okay, I need to provide for me and my son, and I need our life to be easier in 5 years, not harder. Having those passive income models, the scalable source of income, and then also really, really getting clear on numbers and pricing totally changed my experience inside my business, my anxiety, the joy I was finding in my business. So yeah, I think for so long, and I think a lot of photographers relate to this, I was like, if I don't look at my numbers, if I don't look at my bank account, then like I won't stress out and it'll be okay.
I laugh because I've spent many years doing that.
Yeah, same. And honestly, and I outsourced it to my spouse, you know, and I think a lot of people do that too. I outsourced it to my spouse. And when he wasn't there anymore, I had to look at it. And honestly, I was like pleasantly surprised. I was like, I'm better than I thought. And my anxiety just like dropped. And so now I'm so passionate about helping creatives know what to look for in their numbers. And then how to provide for themselves, like how to have different income streams so that if stuff hits the fan, if life throws you a curveball, you can build a way out for yourself. You can build those like support systems and that thing in your business that's going to help you weather the storm. So I met my son's bonus dad a few years ago, so I'm not single parenting anymore, but during those like 2-year-old to 5-year-old stage, I was right in the middle of running two businesses and having a small child. And it was quite a learning experience.
I love that. How old's your little one now?
He is 7. He's almost 8. Oh. So it's the best. I love parenting.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny. And 7 is like, they're sassy pants. Like,
oh yeah.
My so son sassy. Is going to be, he'll be 14 in September. And mama, you hold
oh
on.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, he's like already starting businesses. He's already tried to charge us like $50 for his drawings. I'm like, all right, well, at least you come by it honestly.
Yep. Entrepreneur. I love it.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I want to talk a little bit more about the passive income streams that you mentioned, because putting all your eggs in one basket can honestly be really, really scary. So can you share why that's not something you advise? And can you share maybe some passive income streams you have seen photographers do that does help them ease that financial pressure without having to invest massive amounts of time and money and energy into it?
Totally. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think everyone operates this way. I would love to know if you operate this way, Lisa, but when I put too much pressure on something in my business, it just doesn't work. Like if I'm like this, I need to book this wedding or I need this thing to work really well, it just like runs away from me for some reason. Does it do that for you or are you the opposite?
I feel like my approach to everything is like I kind of have a trust fall with the universe. Is like, yeah. I just kind of like, just like, you got me. And I just trust that everything is going to be okay. And usually it is. So
that's great. Yeah. Well, I mean, in my own exploration of that kind of thought process, I found that having more than one stream of income let me take some of the pressure off one while I focused on the other. And sometimes I could just switch back and forth so that one would, you know, flow a little bit smoother. I'm a big fan of things that are recurring. So having we call it meat and potatoes in Danger School. It's like a retainer client or something you can depend on monthly. So even when I was shooting weddings, I had a retainer client who was headshots or branding or something that could kind of exist in the background that was, I knew that $2,000 a month or whatever it was coming in monthly. And so that was a great other stream of income, not passive, but just another stream of income. But I think for photographers, we have so many options for passive income. There's albums, print sales, galleries. You could develop your own presets, education offers, online courses. I mean, they're not all exactly passive. You have to put a lot of effort into making them happen. Podcasts. But yeah, I just think that having at least something that's a little bit more scalable, a little bit more passive. So if something happens where you don't book that wedding or you can't do those family sessions because you're sick or you're injured, there's something else coming in on the other side.
I love that. I interviewed someone recently who does stock photography.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, like what a great idea for like just different ways to have passive income. Or even I had a friend who during the pandemic, she couldn't shoot. She's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do food photography because all these restaurants are like, these people want to have all this food. So why don't I get like order food from restaurants, photograph them, and then like do something like that. And then now she has a massive business doing food photography that she never even thought she was going to do.
Yeah.
So you just never know, right? You never know unless you try.
Totally. Totally. And I think when we get so, you know, I know that you're all about the universe too, but like when you get so tied to something having to come to you from one thing, you might cut off all these other opportunities. If you're like, I need this one part of my business to work or it's all over, it does put so much pressure on it. Whereas if you can say, but maybe teaching people how to do photography or offering these presets to moms that want to photograph their children, or maybe this thing, like, why not try? Like you said,
I think a lot of the times we get so scared, and I loved this because I want to quote something that I read on your social media, and it was beautiful because this I think is such a heavy hitter for so many of us. And it is, we like to be on a journey with someone and not spoken to from a pedestal. We don't have to wait to show up until we figured everything out because nobody has it all figured out. So, girl, I really needed to like read this because I get so stuck in my head that I don't know enough yet, or I'm not quote unquote the expert yet, that I have no business talking about certain topics, even though they are absolute passions of mine. So I always want to switch a little bit to like, how did you switch your mindset to get out of that, like, I need to be an expert, to like just being like, I can just share my knowledge and like get out of your own way?
It's hard, especially if you're wanting to get into education or podcasting, having that shift into how can I support other people without feeling like I need to know everything. And I think one thing, just a really practical tip that helped me was like facilitating and lifting other people up, hosting conversations is a huge value too. And so even if you're like, I don't know it all yet, you can interview people that are experts in their field. You can facilitate conversations with people that care about the same things that you care about. There's so many opportunities to jump into leading retreats or having some experience of some kind simply by saying, you know, I wish there was this thing. Why not create it? Why not be the one to create it? And chances are, if you're feeling really inspired to do a certain kind of retreat or to do a certain kind of podcast or to write that blog, there is a message that other people are wanting too. There's a space that other people are craving too. And why not you be the one to do it? So I know that like it can be really hard to like get to that place, but it's an act of service to your community. When you take those little pings from the universe and you take that creative inspiration and you run with it, because you don't know who that might help and what beautiful things might unfold by just saying yes to the opportunity that came to you. Because if that idea came to you, it wanted you for some reason.
Yeah. I don't know, but do you have like a million ideas every day?
Oh, yeah.
So many ideas every day, every single day.
Like, can I do all of them? Yeah. I totally understand. I try to like put them in buckets so I can do as many as I want, but like under certain, you know,
yeah.
I'm like, at least this makes sense over here.
Like, seriously, I think I have so many hobbies, like things that I don't ever share or talk about. Like, I'm taking a course in aromatherapy, or I'm like level 2 Reiki, or like all these random fun things. I love to cook. Like,
yeah.
But I never share that. And I'm always so scared, even like when you see like social media, like I always get so scared, like I should only be talking about this one thing. Like, and as humans, we're just such prisms, and we get in our own head in our own way that people only want to learn about this one thing for me. So it's the only thing I'm allowed to talk about. And yeah. It's so silly. It's so silly. Right.
I do the same thing, and I'm also like, what if I could be a matchmaker? What if I could be a travel influencer? I'm like, I don't know. Just sometimes I just do it because it's fun.
Yeah, totally. And I think what I loved about you too is like you take yourself seriously, but you also don't take yourself so seriously. Like, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like you can tell that you're really genuinely passionate about what you do, and you're enjoying helping others, but you're like happy about it. You know what I mean? Like, you love it versus it's not a heavy hustle.
It's not a heavy hustle, but I think it used to be, and I used to put a ton of pressure on myself. And I think just learning through the years that there's so much that we can't control, and there's so many things in life that just get thrown at you. And so if the thing that we have in our business, it's creative, it's fun, it's enjoyable, like we might as well dance with it, because there are going to be things that are challenges that are hard to deal with. Why not make this fun and make it a little bubble of joy as much as you can?
So I think I want to talk a little bit about success now, because I think we often forget that there's not one universal definition of success. And if we don't know what our own definition for success is personally, how on earth are we going to be able to achieve it? So I would love to know, what would you say your definition of success is?
Does it change? I don't know. I mean, I think in each season, it feels different. And I feel really successful when I know that I'm living by my core values and that I'm prioritizing the things that really matter to me. So like my son is young right now. And in this season, what's important to me is that I spend a lot of time with him, and that we go on crazy adventures, and that we have deep connections, and that we really help people. And so I think when I kind of got away from success is a certain dollar sign, or success is a certain publication, or a certain external validation, and more what makes me feel really lit up, it changes everything. And so when I know that I'm getting to really plug in with my son and have great experiences and make great memories, I think that relationships are really important. So when I give myself the space to have that with my clients, that's really important to me. And then adventure is a huge core value. And if your clients haven't done, or if your listeners haven't done a core values exercise yet, I always ask these questions. What are some of the things that you feel most proud of in life? And like, write down as specifically as you can stories that really connected with you, where you felt really proud, really fulfilled in that moment, both in your personal life and in your professional life. And it'll start to give clues to what's really valuable. Like that one story of when I went and traveled by myself was one of the things I felt most proud of, because I got to be independent and I got to adventure and I connected with a bunch of friends that lived in this other place. So asking those questions of yourself can really start to help you dig in and figure out what those values are for you. And then you get to kind of evaluate. You're like, am I running my business in line with what I say I really care about? Like, I say I really care about adventure, but when was the last time I went on an adventure with my family? Or I say I really care about community, but I haven't talked to other peers or, you know, months or whatever it is. But it lets us kind of evaluate stuff based on our own framework instead of what other people are chasing out there, and how booked we are, and how busy we are, and how many people are saying our name, which is fleeting.
I love that. I think it's so important to have those conversations, especially just really introspectively, because, you know, like we have such a programming with the hustle culture of like, okay, you're a photographer now. Check. Now you have to have a six-figure business. And then once you get to that point, you're like, okay, well, I did that. And now am I supposed to have a seven-figure business? Because I'm exhausted at six-figure. Like, I don't think that's scalable, right?
Like, yeah.
And I think that when you find, when you actually say, okay, what does success look like for me? Well, for me, it's sitting on the couch watching Below Deck with my husband on a Tuesday night, not like knowing I don't have a session that I have to get to a client the next day. And that is, that's like, that's to me right now, that's success. That's success, right? I have enough money in the bank. I got food on the table. Like, I'm happy. And I think when you are able to create your own definition of success, you'll know where you're going and where you want to go to, and that you're actually there when you know, when you've got a direction, like, right?
Yeah, totally. Well, I mean, we see it a lot with people we coach, and also have experienced it myself. I'm like, I got in this for freedom, like to not be working all the time, and for fulfillment and relationships. And then, yeah, you get on that program of, I need to make six figures. I need to make multiple six figures. I need to make seven figures. And there's nothing wrong with any of those numbers. Actually, those numbers unlock a lot for you. But if that's all it's about, you can start losing the freedom because you're not prioritizing that anymore. You can start losing the relationships. You have to keep those central as you grow, because maybe you are going to run a seven-figure business, but keep the freedom and the relationships and the things that you value from the beginning. Keep those central. Keep the watching the TV show with your husband as like a central thing. You know, it's just easy to get kind of swept away. But yeah, just keeping those things that at the beginning were the thing that why we got into this business in the first place, keeping that forefront, and even like visual reminders, podcasts like your podcast, I think are great reminders of keeping us like aligned. Because it is so easy to get swept away with what everyone else is doing. It's loud out there.
It's so loud. And actually, that's my next question, because I love, from looking at your social media, being in alignment and mentoring your community on this is really important to you. So what advice do you have when everything really does feel out of alignment and things feel stuck and you just don't even know where to start?
I think, and I know from personal experience, I had to start stripping things back and quitting things and or pausing on things, just being like, okay, something is off. And I think a lot of us are so programmed to keep going and keep pushing through that. And sometimes I do think you just have to really step back and build it over again. But I mean, some really practical tools, walks, because it kind of helps your brain process things. In my burnout year, I did a lot of walking, did a lot of thinking, a lot of writing. I started going back to like, what is the thing that makes me really happy and fulfilled? And following those little pings, following the thing that makes you feel fulfilled and doing it just because it makes you happy. Do you do inner child work? Have you ever done inner child work?
You know what is so funny is that have you heard of Margaret Paul and her and inner bonding?
No.
It is like something that goes all into detail about inner child work. And I actually downloaded it on Saturday and I started it, and oh
yeah,
my gosh. It's like asking your inner child, like, and I've been doing it. I'm like, what would my inner child want for lunch today? And it's funny because my inner child was like, I want French fries. And then my inner parent was like, girl, you had French fries yesterday. Can you maybe have a salad? I'm like, I can have salad and French fries. So I had salad and French fries.
Yeah, I mean, I think especially, you know, I grew up really religious. I had a lot of voices that kind of changed the core of who I was, or like got really busy in there. And so I don't think this is true for everybody, but I think for a lot of people, there's some conditioning to start taking off. And that inner child can be kind of the core essence of our creativity. So I do an exercise with my clients where I just have you picture yourself at your earliest memory, or like 6 or 7 years old. What was that version of you like? What kind of things were you into? Where were you? Who was around? And we always end up in tears because this like little core essence of us is just so beautiful. And a lot of times we feel like we've gotten so far away from that, but we really haven't. It's right in there. We just have to start listening to it more. So it's a practice, but journaling and meditating can help a ton. Yeah.
So what's funny is I looked down at my phone because I wanted to show you on my, like, my lock screen. I can't pull it up right now. I have a picture of me at 5 years old.
Oh my gosh.
And when I went, yeah. And I'm like, and so I have it there and I'm like, okay, would this, when I'm making a decision, I'm like, would this girl be proud? How would this girl feel about this? And it's just like reconnecting with your own little inner person. And it's just been a really interesting, I guess, sort of experiment with getting in touch with your heart.
It's beautiful. And I don't know about you, but I'm like, my inner child was this vibrant, creative, fun person. And the version of me in between, you know, I do feel like I'm trying to get back to her now, but there was a whole section of time where I was scared and I was pushing and I was, you know, like all these coping mechanisms, which I have a lot of compassion for myself for, but taking that time to dig into that core essence, I think is just so kind to ourselves, especially if you're experiencing burnout.
Yeah, I completely agree. And even like the way we shrink or we mask or we try to fit in or we make ourselves smaller or we chameleon. Whereas like when we're little, we just like expect everyone to love us. And I love to put on a show. I always wanted to have my own show. And like,
my
little girl's happy.
But Lisa, before you started the show or like early days of the show, like was there anything that told you, oh, you shouldn't have a show or like be,
of course,
yeah, right, like you shouldn't be in the spotlight?
I have struggled because we started the Milky Way back in 2012. The person I am now compared to the person I was then is a lifetime ago. Like I am so different. I was so terrified. I was scared of my voice. I was scared of saying or doing something wrong, or I was scared to be myself. Honestly, I was just really scared of the world and in the response that I was either too much or too, like, too anything, mm-hmm. and that I wasn't going to fit in. And then I think over time, just like your confidence muscle really only gets strengthened, like going to the gym, if you practice.
Yeah.
And like, you got to show up even when you're scared or when you're terrified, and you just do it anyway. And you're like, okay, well, that hurt, but I got through it. And game face on, do it again, do it again, do it again. And then one day you wake up and you're like, wow, like my newborn sessions, they're easy. But in the beginning, they weren't.
Yeah.
Like anything that's worth having is worth the pain of going through it, I think.
Totally. Totally. And I think that the more you put yourself in those situations where you're stretching and you're trying new things and you're growing, the more fulfilled you feel too. And the stronger you are in that next thing that you go into. Like new things feel so much less scary now.
Yeah, they do. They feel less scary. Like right now, I really would like to start doing solo episodes where I've always done this as an interview model. And I've done a few solo episodes. But to be honest, I'm like, does anyone actually want to hear from me for like 25 minutes just talking?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, why would anyone like want to listen to that? And I'm like, maybe they would. I don't know.
They would.
So listeners out there, can give me some validation.
Lisa, you don't need our validation because you are just a sparkling, beautiful, excited to be here host. But I will still give you validation that we definitely want to hear.
Yes, please.
We definitely want to hear your solo show. And you have valuable things to say for sure.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I needed that actually more than you know. So I actually want to talk a little bit more about your Dangerous Creatives framework because you also do journaling, you do inner child work, EFT, and you blend the business with the woo, which is my absolute jam. So can you share why this is an integral part of your Dangerous Creatives framework and really how this helps your mentees grow?
Yeah. I mean, it's exactly what we've been talking about so far too. You know, like I can tell someone what to do to market their business all day long. But if we don't believe that we are worthy of having a great business or getting attention or being visible, it's going to be really hard to do the things that someone's telling you to do. We have to do the inner work to even know what's for us and what's not for us. And so, you know, early days of education, I do think this is changing. It would be like, try this formula, try this system. And a lot of, like, all of them are great. Most of them are great, you know, but not all of them are for you. Not all of them are for me. And so I think why the inner child work, why the deep dives into what matters to us, what we care about, what we want our life to look like, our success to look like, why that matters is that then it guides every other decision that we make in our business. Our marketing choices need to line up with that place of like knowing ourselves and knowing what is for us and what's not for us. So I think it's just, it's the most core thing in coaching. And when I have clients who come out saying, I trust myself more, I feel more peace, at least I know where to go now when I have a question and don't end up like spiraling or overthinking every decision. I'm like, that's the win. If you trust yourself more and you have now this kind of framework to make decisions from, that's the win.
I love that. Can you share a little bit about what EFT is for their listeners that maybe haven't heard of it before?
Yeah, it's emotional freedom technique. It's like tapping, and you can tap on different points in your face and your body. And it helps kind of, it's like an anxiety tool. It helps you calm down. And so, I mean, that I've found meditation and self-hypnosis to also be very helpful tools in this kind of mindset work in coaching, because, you know, in our brains, when we tell a story long enough, it starts creating this groove in a neural pathway. And so, you know, so say you and I met in person and, you know, there was like a weird moment. I can take that experience and be like, Lisa hates me. Lisa thinks I'm weird. I can decide a story that then, because I'm cycling through it so much, it creates this deep groove in my brain, you know, and our neuroscience. And so when we can decide to change the story and actually change the makeup of our brain. And so what we tell ourselves is really important. What we listen to is important. And so meditation and kind of like listening through different self-hypnosis things or inner child work can really help us to remap some of those things so that we're seeing the positive instead of the negative. We're choosing a more neutral story instead of a negative story. Because then that like that trickles into everything we do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it could have just been that you had an itch on your nose.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like I was like thinking about like, did I leave my curling iron on?
Yeah, exactly. Like, why do we choose this, the worst case scenario story instead of like the one that's a better story?
It's so, yeah, it's funny because I've been working with a coach recently and I was going through some stories that I tell myself and she's like, okay, well, who's the thinker of those thoughts? And I'm like, well, I'm the thinker of the thoughts. Like, then you can choose to have different thoughts. You can say, stop, I don't want to have those thoughts anymore. Like I was really ruminating on something that I had absolutely, it was not my business and I shouldn't have been ruminating on it. And yeah. She's like, well, you can choose to have a better thought about that. Like what's going to happen if you have a better thought? I'm like, I'm going to feel better. So like just questioning our own thinking, like there's been some resources recently that I've been, because I'm a book junkie. Like
same.
I love it. Like I've been Byron Katie a little bit with like,
yeah,
like The Work is one I'm reading right now. It's really good. And I always have about five different books going because I also have Joe Dispenza as well, who I adore. And Supernatural is a good one too. Yeah, it's interesting. Like how we are in more control of our thoughts and our reality than we think we are.
Totally. Totally. That was, I mean, that learning that was a big perspective shift for me. And, you know, I think you still need to look at your numbers. You still need to have good, solid business practices. Mm-hmm. It's the both things. But if you think about it, if you're sitting here, or if I'm sitting here with a belief that no one likes me, what I have to say isn't valuable, like I will not show up for anything in my business or in my life. And so when you start from that internal place of deciding that we're going to go and do these things and improve our confidence as we go, and that actually people do like me, you know, like if you write this different story for yourself, your actions change. So it's really beautiful to see like the ripple effects of doing that internal work on like everything else in your business.
Totally. And even like manifestation, because I think that there's such a confusion with manifestation is like, you just like, I'm manifesting, I'm going to sit back and let it, like the universe come to me. And I'm like, no, like manifestation, you have to have some action in there. You have to be working towards that goal. You need to know what you want. And then you're going to attract it to you because you're taking the steps to meet it there.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
And like, it's so fascinating, right? It's so fascinating.
It's
love it.
So active and not just, yeah, it's not just sitting there and being like, okay, where is it? You know, it's so active and showing up for knowing our dreams and showing up for the dreams.
Absolutely. It's like, well, like I like to think of manifestation as like, okay, so I want to win the lottery, but did you go buy a ticket?
Yeah.
If you're not in the game, you can't win.
Yeah, exactly.
So how can you manifest that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So are you ready to go into our lightning round?
Yeah, I'm ready. I like did not prepare for the questions though. So I'm like, I'm just gonna take it and go for it.
I love it. Okay. Favorite TV show as a kid?
Seinfeld.
Oh, good one.
Yeah. I was a weird kid.
Last thing you did for yourself as an indulgence?
I like upgraded a flight, I think. Yeah, I upgraded a flight. Every once in a while that I'll just like splurge for something. It's worth it.
What did you want to be when you grew up?
An artist. Yeah, I loved painting and designing scrunchies.
I love it. What do you like to cook the most?
I have been baking sourdough bread. And so that's like my, yeah, I'm right there with the sourdough bread. It's getting so close to being perfect.
I love it. That's so funny that you mentioned that, because that is like something that has been like on my radar, but I'm gluten-free. So I like really want to figure out how to crack the gluten-free sourdough.
Yes. I think it is. Even for gluten-sensitive people, it is – sourdough is better than other types of bread, but I get it. If you're celiac, probably don't eat sourdough.
My naturopath said you probably shouldn't eat it. So yeah, I was like, yeah. I haven't had gluten in like 8 years.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Good for you.
So what's your favorite guilty or not so guilty pleasure?
Horrible TV. I love reality TV shows like Love is Blind and oh my gosh, it's so bad, but I love it.
I just started Vanderpump Rules.
My friend loves that show. I have not watched it, but I feel like I need to get on board now.
Seriously, we splurged on the channel called Hey You, and it has like all of the reality shows. And my husband and I are addicted to Blow Deck.
Yeah. Amazing.
What's your favorite comfort food?
Mac and cheese.
Yum.
So bad.
When do you feel most authentically yourself?
When I'm probably when I'm playing with my son. I love like the trampoline parks, going there
that.
With
awesome.
My son and just jumping on the trampoline.
Like, I need some pelvic floor work. I pee my pants like every time.
I hear you. Yeah. The pelvic floor work is a necessity.
What is something you've accomplished as an adult that your younger self would be proud of?
Oh my goodness. Okay, I ran a marathon and I was never a runner. I was the kid that got run into by the more athletic kids. I was always so clumsy. I was on the B squad of like every sport I ever played. I was just not athletic. And I ran a marathon. And so my younger self would be like, who is she?
I love that. What's your go-to song that lifts you up when you're down?
Gosh, I don't even know this one. Probably something Taylor Swift or Britney Spears. I got to go back. Backstreet Boys. Yeah, I got to go back.
I love that. What three things do you want to be remembered for?
I want to be remembered for brightening people's day, making people feel seen and special, and for just having a blast with my life.
Where can our listeners learn more from you?
Well, I hang out a lot on Instagram, so I would love to meet you there at Kristen Sweeting. Or I do have a podcast, and Lisa and I are so aligned. I think if you love Lisa's podcast, you'll love the Dangerous Creatives podcast. So I would love to see you over there too.
I think so. Love that. We'll make sure we include that in our show notes for you guys too. So I love to end my interviews just with this last question, and it is, what are you currently curious about or artistically curious about?
I'm really having a fun time exploring podcasting and exploring a new medium. So that's been fun. I never expected that to be part of my business journey, and I've really, really been having fun with it. So
same.
Yeah. I'm like, I think creative people, we just want to evolve, you know? I was a musician first, and then it went into photography, and I think we love to evolve and play in this world. So go out and explore. I'm going to explore some things too.
Love it. Well, Kristen, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. It was so fun. And I just like loved getting to chat with you. So thank you so much.
Oh, my beautiful friends, I hope you loved this conversation just as much as I did. I am sending you so much of my light and my love today and every single day. We will see you next time. I wanted to take a moment to ask you a little favor. I so appreciate you spending your time with me and tuning in and listening to the show. I would be so incredibly grateful if you could take a quick moment to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Your review helps other photographers discover the podcast and learn how to grow their own photography businesses and gain confidence to go after their dreams. It also means the world to me personally and helps me know what content you find most helpful. Thank you so much for your support and for being part of our amazing community.